Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday morning MV Pro call. Today is Thursday, October 25th, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which, of course, you can do by subscribing to Motivitality on whatever podcast application you happen to use, or by going to motivitality.com, where you can listen to years and years and years worth of archives. Definitely love having you on live, though. Although I do have to say, you know, it's interesting because we always ask for topics, you know, and ideas. I mean, we come up with, you know, what an average of 46 or 47 of these things a year. And as I've mentioned before, sometimes Jen and I, right before the call or you know, a couple days before, Corey will send us a message saying, hey, what's the topic for Thursday? And we're like, I don't know. Do you have a topic? No, I don't have a topic. So we're trying to come up with topics that are relevant to everybody out in the field. And today's topic actually came from somebody who is rarely ever able to listen to, you know, to hop on live, but he shot me a message, and so we'll talk about that. So it's definitely, there are way more of you that listen to this on recording, so a shout out to you guys. I understand schedules get there, and that's why we put them up on the podcast apps. So I don't even know if that's a thing, if we put them on the podcast apps. We upload them to the web and the podcast apps access them. I don't know, whatever. Anyway, we'll start the call off the way I do pretty much every week, which is by asking, was there anything anybody learned this last week that you wish you had known before? Anything that happened that is worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country, or anything we can help you with? Any questions you might have?
Kelly, I do.
Oh, Jen, go. What? Absolutely. Love to hear from you.
I don't remember if we did this last week or not, but I want to give a huge official welcome to Ray Schuler, who has come on as – did we do this last week?
No, we didn't. Ray was not – he didn't start. This is Ray's first
week. I know
he
started Monday, and so I wasn't sure if we announced it prior to him starting, but – huge welcome to Ray Schuler. He is going to be our, what is his official title?
Director of Sales.
Director of Sales. So he'll be handling sales. We have all kinds of really awesome new lines coming out for the MV Marketplace. And so he will be handling all of that and calling on dealerships and customers and such. So Ray, I got the pleasure to work with you side by side for a day, and we're doing a lot of virtual training, he's got a lot of learning that he's been doing this week on kind of Motivitality stuff. So welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's super overwhelming. It can be. I mean, it's always interesting how. And I think this is the case with everybody when they first come in the industry. There's so much knowledge, right? And I mean, anytime you start a new career or a new job or any of that stuff, you have to learn the routines and the systems and the programs and the and all of that stuff. It's challenging. I mean, that just the even if you know your industry and you know your stuff and you know what you're doing, having to learn all the systems that are in place for, for a new job or a new company can be really challenging. I mean, I think hopefully you guys are thinking back to when you started and just how much there was to learn. It's daunting. It's interesting. Tom Hopkins said one time that it's too bad we can't take the enthusiasm of a new person when you first start a new job and take the enthusiasm of somebody brand new and combine that enthusiasm of a new person with the experience of somebody who's been there a long time. Because a lot of times people that have been there a long time, they don't have the enthusiasm or the drive to go, out of the way to do all the extra stuff versus you know, so if you could take somebody that was, take the excitement and the enthusiasm from the person who just started and give that to the person who's been there a long time, you'd have the ideal employee, I guess. But anyway, yes, thank you for that, Jen. Anybody else have anything? So I do want to just jump into our topic today. Like I said, this topic came from one of our long-time clients and somebody who listens pretty regularly on the podcast and the recording. So pretty much appreciated there. But what we were talking about, what we want to talk about today is just kind of a discussion over qualifying questions. Now, this has been, and I'm talking more for the office, okay? So most of you here are probably not in the office. Most of you are probably in the field in some way, but I'm interested in having a discussion over what questions should be asked before we go out into the home. And I actually, the idea came to, was presented to me from a service standpoint, you know, how much can an office person troubleshoot? And so I'd like to maybe go two directions. Okay, number one, what questions should we ask or should we not ask before a salesperson goes out to the home? And what questions should we ask or should we not ask before a service technician goes into the home? So I can tell you that in my experience, salespeople, there's two views on it. Sometimes they don't want the person in the office asking anything. Sometimes owners don't want the person in the office asking anything, you know, anything other than name, address, phone number, how many people in the house, a few things like that, right? Because they can almost give too much information. You want the salesperson to have the opportunity to get in the home. On the other hand, from a sales perspective, I can tell you I liked to have, especially the house leads, to have them qualified a little bit because I didn't want to waste my time. You know, I'm not a professional visitor. I wanted to increase. I mean, that's one of the reasons I loved having so many creative leads, because I actually set the appointments and knew, you know, I could schedule them when both the husband and wife would be there, or both decision makers, or all the decision makers, I guess, could schedule that. You know, but so let's just kind of start. I want to throw it out there, and let's start from a. Let's actually start from the service perspective, okay? And we'll talk about sales in a second, but how much troubleshooting can the person at the office do, and what types of questions should they ask? Let's say somebody calls in and says that you know, their softener's not working, okay? What are some of the questions that we should ask, and how many questions should be asked? I guess we could start just in general on perspective. You know, where do you guys stand on qualifying, on having the person in the office ask questions?
You know, anybody? There are times that a few more questions would be nice, but we've also had them talk too much and talk people out of appointments.
And yeah,
it depends on the knowledge.
So give me some examples of that, Stacy. Give me some examples of how that would go.
So there's oftentimes they'll start quoting prices and they'll be nowhere close to any price. We don't want them quoting prices. So basically a lot of it's just them quoting, and same with service techs. I've had service techs quote prices. And I'm like,
yeah.
No, we're nowhere close to that. That was a price from 8 years ago, dude.
So let's talk about that though. So somebody calls into the office, I want to know what price is a factor, right? If sometimes I don't have any clue how much something costs, and you actually represent a premium product and a premium manufacturer, Stacy. Uh-huh. So I think if I'm curious, I think as a consumer, if I'm not in the industry and I'm curious, I have no idea how much the things cost. I would like to know kind of a range before I had somebody come to my home. I mean, I think that's normal. I mean, this morning I was looking at, at one of those. I had no idea. I have never really had any interest at all, but I was just curious. I knew they were out there, but I decided to take a look at one of those mopping robot things, and I had no idea what they were. So I looked at a price, and then I stopped looking because I'm not interested in spending that much money. I'll mop it myself. but the price was a factor. I mean, I think that's normal, right? When you guys buy something, it is a factor. So if I call into the office, I don't have any idea. I think it's normal that I'm going to ask, how much is it? You know, how much does it cost? How do you answer that? How should the office person answer that question?
Our people, we customize our systems to your family's needs and to your water issues.
Yeah,
which
but
can only be.
But how? What's the low end? How much? What's the least amount I'm going to spend?
And the goal is for them to get around that.
Well, I understand, but you know what? So the goal is for them to get around that, except that if I'm a customer and I need that information, I understand that there's a range and it may vary on my water, but I'm also going to be irritated if you don't answer. You know what the low end is. You know what the least amount I'm going to spend if I buy a water softener is, right?
Exactly.
But okay, so
let's say I tell you it's $2,500, but you turn out to be on a well and you have sulfur and now it's $5,000.
Yeah. How would you guys, how would you suggest, the rest of you on there, how would you suggest an office person answer that question? You know, because it does happen. So is Stacy right that you completely avoid it and don't give the information at all if you can avoid it? Or do you give, what answer do you give? What do you guys think?
And what our people do will have us call them or transfer them to us.
Yeah, yeah. That which I think makes a lot of sense, right? Then because then the that does allow you to say, and everything you're saying is accurate, Stacy. So I'm not trying to to dismiss that at all. To I think when you do say, look, it's we're not a one size fits all. We're not a box store. What we do is we come out and we do a plumbing assessment. We will take a look at the install location. We'll do a thorough water analysis and based on that, make a determination. Now I do believe in giving a range. Okay. I think that it's important. People are looking at that. I mean, I would say based on, I haven't done any of that stuff, but based on my knowledge of your area, based on what we know about your area, I would say that probably the least expensive you're going to spend would be about $2,000. But that could go all the way up, to, sometimes I like to give the high end, I would say the most expensive you're going to spend, because that's really what they want to know is how much, what's the most it's going to cost, right? Not necessarily the least. Nobody wants to spend the least amount of money because they associate that with the lowest quality. So you can start on the high end. Based on my knowledge of your area, I'd say that likely the most you would spend would be about $7,500. And then you can go way down from there. It really depends on whether you're just looking at a whole house system or just for your drinking, and that then turns around where you can ask questions. Are you looking at a whole house system, or are you looking at a you know, a system just at your sink, you know, for drinking. And actually, that's one of the ways to start it right there is it's all about the questions, right? So this is how we train anybody, whether you're in sales or somebody in the office. So somebody calls in and says, how much does your system cost? Well, if you walk into a car dealership and you ask them, how much does a car cost? What are they going to tell you? You walk into a car dealership and you say, how much does a car cost? How are they going to answer that question? Somebody throw it out there. You walk into a car dealership, what do you think the answer is going to be if you say, how much does a car cost?
Which car?
Yeah, right? Which car? I mean, yeah. What kind of car? What's that, Stacey?
What features?
Yeah, do you want a two-door, a four-door, four-wheel drive? Do you want an SUV? Do you want used? Do you want new? There's a ton of questions. So when somebody calls your office up and they says, so how much does a water softener cost? Well, are you on well water or are you on city water? Are you looking at something with, what features do you want on it? You know, do you want counter current or co-current? Do you want a timered or a metered? Do you want a twin tank or a single tank? Do you want, you know, there are a ton of different features. How much iron do you have? Oh, that one I know. We had our water tested. We had 2.5 parts per million of iron, 2.4 parts per million of iron. Okay, is that ferrous or ferric? Huh? Is it ferrous or ferric iron? How do you know that? Well, that's a test we have to do in the home to determine, and it would really determine which type of equipment that you have, right? So we have to determine, you know, and that's a good one, especially when you have something like iron, because, or, you know, pH, you know, you could do the same thing with pH. Well, what is your pH? I don't know. How do I know that? Well, we need to test that. You know, we need to be there. So questions really are the key to getting around that. Now, that still doesn't change the fact that people want to know a price. And so once you ask the questions and you've made them, really the key is making them curious enough to want more information. You have to, your office personnel, they're the first people that talk to your customers, right? So what we have to teach the people in the office to do, some owners don't want their office people to know anything about, they don't feel like they need to know anything about water. And I think, Stacey, that you're correct in that they can start giving way too much information, okay? We have to teach our office personnel to not tell people stuff, but to ask people stuff, okay? And the key is to get them to ask enough questions until they get to the point where the customer doesn't know the answers. And that's when you then have value in having a salesperson out there. Now, there's some very relevant information that you can give, okay, you know, or that you can gain from an office perspective, right? So it is important to know how many people are in home. It is important to know if they're on well or city. It's important to know whether they own or rent. It's important to know if there's already equipment in the home. But I do think that it's also important that they know how to route that call. Okay, so they do need to get that call to the expert as soon as possible. Is it a service call or is it a sales call? So what questions does the person in the office ask to determine whether it's a service or a sales call? What should they ask in order to?
Well, we ask if they have any type of water treatment.
Yeah. So do you currently have equipment? Yeah.
Do they have equipment and what kind of water concerns are they having?
Yeah. It's Elaine, right? Is that Elaine? Yeah. So Elaine, what is your take? Because you as a owner, as a manager, I mean, this is something I know you've probably dealt with. How much information do you want your office staff to give?
Well, we want them to know as much as they can to be able to answer our customers' questions. So they do know quite a bit, but they're also trained not to give out prices.
How do you handle that situation where the customer is really demanding that price?
I'm sorry, if they ask what the price is?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the customer really demands that price. How do they handle that?
You know, it really depends on factors that I don't know about. How many people are in the home? How big is the home?
Yeah.
Are you on the well? Are you looking for reverse osmosis or a whole house system? Do you have any particular concerns with your water? Do you have iron? There's so many questions that I am just not able to answer. It'll require a site visit.
Yeah, and I think that's really the key, right? So it's the same thing. It really is not about how you answer that question. It is professional. You walk in, look, we've talked on this call a million times about emulating other professionals, right? And one of the biggest examples I give is the doctor. So we walk into the doctor's office, or we call the doctor's office even more accurately. That's probably more accurate to, you know, more related to our business. We call the doctor's office and we say, so what's wrong with me? Well, for starters, you called here asking what's wrong with me instead of being examined, right? But it's not a realistic question. I mean, it's our job, and it really does fall on the shoulders of the person answering the phone, the office personnel. I mean, I think so many people kind of look at an office person as the, you know, oh, they're just admin. They're just, you know, they're the assistant, you know, the one. They're really the first person our customers talk to. It's really critical that they be intelligent and innovative and that they know how to address those things. And I think it's important that they understand enough about what we do that they can ask those questions to guide those questions. You know, I mean, when you call in and you talk to the nurse at the nurse's station at a doctor's office and you say the same thing, so what's wrong with me? They're going to say, well, we need you to come in and get examined. I can't answer that. How can I answer that? And that is really the same thing that happens when customers call in and say, how much does a water softener cost? Okay, so it's we answer that question by asking questions, for sure, by narrowing it down, making the customer curious enough. Number one, they have to realize that we're professional, okay? I mean, would you trust the doctors if you called up and you said, hey, you know, what's wrong with me? And the doctor started giving you a diagnosis and that cost in a solution that cost $3,000 or $4,000, how comfortable would you be in what that doctor told you? I mean, they did phone diagnosis and recommendations. I don't think I'd be very comfortable with that doctor. I'd want to be examined before they did that. And so it, no wonder if we give that price really easily, no wonder customers are just hanging up and going somewhere else, because why would they trust you as a professional? Would you guys agree with that?
Yeah.
So,
Kelly, can I put a little a little silent plug in here? But I firmly believe that the office professional, they should have some sort of knowledge as far as the equipment, things like that. Because, you know, can you imagine you, Kelly, going into, I'm just going to say, a doctor's office and not really understanding what goes on with how the doctor does what they do, you know what I mean? Or in any other profession, if you're just the person answering the phone, I think a lot of people get a little bit frustrated when somebody will ask them a question, they don't know the answer. Not saying that they should be answering, you know, why isn't my water softener working, but at least they have some sort of background, some sort of knowledge. So that's one of the things, one of the classes that I've done with companies and I think with the Florida Water Quality Association is just is the Water 101 for the office professional. Just talking about the very basics on how a water softener works, the very basics on contaminants in their area, and things like that, how to answer the phone, how to answer those questions without upsetting the customer and them saying, oh, just forget it and hanging up. So, but I think it is really important for them to gain that knowledge. And then we also have the WQA training that they can also take the WQA
yeah.
training just to get familiar with water, how it works, and how everything runs.
See, I think that's really important. I mean, even, you know, even if somebody doesn't, somebody in the office doesn't go all the way through their certification process, I think even just learning the first, you know, the basics, going through the basics of it, I think are important. So the risk of that and having those qualifying questions asked or the risk of giving somebody that much knowledge, though, is that the more knowledge they have, the more knowledge they that people tend to want to tell or say. This is something, Jen, you know, it's a weakness of mine, actually, as a salesperson, because the more knowledgeable I have gotten, the more I tend to go into the weeds. I've had to learn now in a sales presentation to ask customers, how much of this do you want to know? How much do you care about this? You know, and we, as the more information we have, the more we know, the more we want to tell people. And I think that happens with office personnel as well. So I think that if we're going to train them and teach them, we have to do that with in conjunction with teaching them how to ask questions to gain information. I really think that the teaching them to ask questions and what questions to ask, and they do have to have some basic water knowledge in order to know what questions to ask, right? To recognize.
Oh, I agree. Yeah.
What's happening, but we've got to teach them that knowledge, so that they know what questions to ask, right? And then we're going to determine. I think the other thing that Stacy said, and kind of Elaine, that I think you alluded to as well, I think it's really important that they ask enough questions to know who to get them to get the salesperson to. One of the things that I'm always curious about, and I know we're low on time here, is do we – I mean, we've only got like 3 minutes left, and this is probably a whole different conversation on whether or not. Elaine, let me ask you this. I'm just curious, if you don't mind. I'm always asking you from the owner's perspective. Do your office people set the appointment themselves, or do they give the lead to your salespeople to call and set?
We have a service department that sets service leads, and we have the sales department, and that's the person who only sets the sales leads for the reps.
So the reps do not set their own appointments if it's a house lead. So because I know there's a lot of companies.
Yeah, but self-generated they are, but most of them are not self-generated, and so they're set by the house.
Yeah, so that's I see that a lot, and we are almost out of time to explore that one, but. I see that sometimes where, and I think we lose a ton of opportunity when you do that. I think the person in the office needs to get that appointment set as soon as possible. I see a lot of companies, though, where the office will say, okay, well, let me have you know, our sales rep or our territory manager get in touch with you, and they can schedule a time to come out there. I mean, they picked up the phone to call to set the appointment. They don't want to call. They have to wait for a call back, you know. I think it's important to get that time set right then and there. Okay, well, I wasn't sure exactly the direction this conversation was going to go, but I think that we had some good conversation here. Any final thoughts or comments? So with that, then, thank you very much, everybody, and we'll talk to you next week, if not before. So thanks, everybody. Be safe. Have a great weekend.
Take care.